Blog Talk Radio.
You are now connected to the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Darty.
Taking on 2,000 years of indoctrination, 2 hours at a time.
Sink or swim, deep end information.
Asking questions no one else will.
Parabiblical research, spiritual technology, personal empowerment.
Be your own guru.
Master your own ascension.
Guide your own spirit.
And now, showing you how, the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Darty.
Well, hello and welcome to a Thursday morning. I'm Jeffrey Darty. This is the Fresh Daily Show. I have no fear. I know the opener says a 2 hours program. That's our Wednesday night show. And this one is not 2 hours. This one is a half hour. And we try to do it every weekday morning here on Blog Talk Radio at this bat time, this bat channel. We're also happy to have this broadcast on deprogrammed radio, and very excited about that, frankly. So here we are with the Jeffrey Darty Show, the Christian Whistleblower Show, the Fresh Daily Show, whatever you want to call it. We are here to bring it to you. You can find me on the web at jeffreydarty.com and at christianwhistleblower.com. You can also find me at NC Kabbalah on Twitter, Jeffrey Darty on Facebook as well. And we have the Religion Watch Daily on our website, daily compilation of news, some of it interesting, some of it kind of silly, some of it actually very sad, but a couple of interesting things. I put up a new feature called the Memes of the Day. And one of the memes up there today says, the question isn't why a loving God would send people to hell. The question is, why would anyone choose hell over a loving God? No, that is not the question. Answer the first question, please. Why would a loving God send people to hell? Especially those that have never heard about him. Interesting, interesting question. And, of course, one that never really gets answered satisfactorily. But it is what it is. Now, we also have a couple, and there's a lot of news items here. Of course, I don't read through all of them each and every day. Nice article there about Lithia 2015, how pagans and non-pagans alike welcomed in the recent summer solstice, which, of course, happened on June the 21st. Interesting article that suggests that even atheists believe in a creator, new research suggesting that seeing the natural world as purposefully created, is our default setting. Interesting, interesting stuff. One of my favorites, I'm still diving into the entire totality of this. I need to talk to Dr. Andy Toltec, who is a psychiatrist and a shaman who's currently south of the border. And Mexico did a nationwide exorcism for what is believed to be the first time ever for an entire nation. An exorcism was performed designed to chase demons out of the entire country. Now, it was the Catholic Church doing it. I don't know how effective they really would have been or could have been in that type of a situation. You know, it's interesting because the Pharisees, or perhaps the Sadducees, I believe it was the Pharisees, that talked about Yeshua, and they accused him of casting out demons by the prince of demons. And, of course, Yeshua made his famous statement about a house divided against itself cannot stand. But a house divided against itself can affect false flags and do some spiritual theater. And I just wonder about what Mexico was able to clear from their country, or what Mexico was able to release from their country and maybe sick on their neighbors. I happen to be one of their northern neighbors, so it is of some interest to me. Of course, if you listen to me at all, you understand that my take on what a demon is anything but conventional. And you can find, you know, a lot of that right here on the Blog Talk or Blog Talk archives. You can find a lot of that on the YouTube archives. And just go to my website, jeffreydaugherty.com, christianwhistleblower.com. You can find out all kinds of great stuff. A lot of that stuff is on YouTube as well, talking about demons. But interesting stuff, interesting implications, and if nothing else, some great stuff to actually sit around and ponder a little bit. Now, here's one that it shocks me, but at the same time, it's exactly what you would expect. And I'm not making this up. I have researched this, and it's actually a legitimate, real, true, actual situation. Churches get creepy facial recognition software. Do you still think your church couldn't possibly be part of a mind control matrix? That's my two cents. That's not the article. The article says churches get facial recognition software to track members. Churches have just started employing at least 30 of them at the time of this writing. A new way to figure out who's in church on Sunday and who's not, to track them, to bug them, to find out, you know. And here's my thought. Use this thing, because you can use it through video. You can use it through single image pictures. Why not run this thing during offering? See who's giving and see who's not giving, and deal with them appropriately. The company that's developed this software for the churches has previously developed facial recognition for law enforcement, border control, and other commercial applications. So isn't this exactly what you want in your church? Think about that next time you go into the church for Sunday services, for Sunday Mass. Think about this next time you go to a church picnic or a church barbecue or even one of these church carnivals that they love to have. Think about how the church is showing its true colors. And here comes creepy facial recognition software in church to track members. Something I think Paul would be proud of. Something I think Nero would be proud of. And something I think the dancing bear of Antioch would have no problem with. And today we want to look at the origins of that dancing bear of Antioch. And it's possible that I could have been in error as to the origins of that dancing bear of Antioch. Now, I'm here just to provide information to you. I certainly know that a man or a woman convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. But I'm here to give you the facts and let you know that there are two roads to choose from within the text of the Bible itself: the message of Yeshua and his apostles, and the message of Paul. And it gives you a chance to understand, investigate, and make a proper choice, or stick your head back into the sand and ignore it all, pretend that it's going to go away. We talked about the New Testament books being compiled in an order that has absolutely nothing to do with when they were written. Still no answers to the question of why, some unsatisfactory answers. Well, Jeff, they did it because they wanted to. Captain Obvious, but that's exactly right. They did it because they wanted to. And then another one, a guy that I can tell struggling with it, sees the man behind the curtain but is not ready to admit his existence yet, that says, well, maybe the Holy Spirit inspired that order that the books are in now. So let me get this straight. All of the books in the New Testament are inspired by the Holy Spirit, right? That's what they say. And the books as they appear now are nowhere near the order in which they were received printed, published. So the Holy Spirit inspired and revealed the books in one order, only to hundreds of years later change his mind and put them in another order. So was the Holy Spirit drunk on sweet baby Jesus' beer that we talked about yesterday when he allegedly inspired the originals so that he had to go back after he sobered up and straighten out the order? Why didn't the Holy Spirit just reveal the books in the order that he wanted them to be in the first place? You can see how ridiculous and how lacking that answer, that explanation is. And it just doesn't make any sense. The real order, in the true historical sense, AD 47, AD 52, AD 53, 57, 58, 62, 65, 66, 67, 68, a gap to AD 90, and then AD 96. That's the order that the New Testament books were really written in. That's the order they were inspired in, whoever they were inspired by. And yet, the order that we now have them in is 66, 57, 63, 90, 65, 58, 57, 62, 52, 53, 67, 68, 62, 68, 47, 60, 90, 66, 96. Doesn't make sense. There is no rhyme. There is no reason, or at least no rhyme or reason that makes any good sense. And one thing that I discovered that is absolutely, positively amazing is that even though the Holy Spirit couldn't get the order of the New Testament books right when he, of course he, revealed them the first time, had to change his mind and reveal in a different way the second time, the amazing thing is that the Holy Spirit was able to get all of Paul's books in order, an absolutely perfect chronological order in the New Testament. All of the books that Paul wrote are revealed in their exact chronological order of being written and published. You know why? Because when the writings are published in the order of their correct chronological publication, it's easy to follow the development of thought, the development of doctrine, the development of what that person is teaching. So you completely garble the revelation of everybody who's not Paul and keep the revelation of Paul in perfect, complete chronological order. Oh, that naughty Holy Spirit. Folks, come on. Only the books of Yeshua's original 12 apostles are jumbled up. I wonder why. There's no doubt that it's deliberate historical revision designed to disrupt the flow of thought and doctrine. It really is the smoking gun of the distorted, hijacked timeline. It's buried the Yeshua movement and built Christianity on its corpse. It is the triumph of indoctrination over enlightenment. And it really can't be argued. So that just adds another layer. You can't get the non-Pauline books in correct order, but somehow you can get the Pauline books in perfect, correct order. So anyway, the origin of the dancing bear or the birth of plastic Jesus. And like I said, I might have been in error. I talked yesterday about the origin of the dancing bear being the city of Antioch, because that's where Paul started his work, and that's where the new name of Christian was first applied to believers. And incidentally, while the disciples, apostles of Yeshua were alive and well in Jerusalem, Paul went and started his new thing. But actually, the star of the show, well, other than Paul, the center of Paul's message, the dancing bear of Antioch, this Jesus person, was actually not given to him or revealed to him or birthed in Antioch. He was revealed on the road to Antioch. Actually, Plastic Jesus, the dancing bear of Antioch, was born on the road to Antioch. You know, Acts 11:26 tells us that people were first called Christians in Antioch. That was your homework. How'd you do? And here is how the smoking gun of the jumbled New Testament is being used. The New Testament is constructed to make you think that this was after, that these writings, the book of Acts, the writings of Paul were after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the apostles were finished. It was not. The 12 apostles were alive and well in Jerusalem when Paul decided to name believers Christians. When Paul decided to name believers Christians. Now, if we really were, and I speak of we being believers in the message of Yeshua, if we were to be called Christians, then why didn't the disciples apply that moniker to us? Paul started it because he started a new thing while the real thing was still alive and well. So we have a choice. Do we want the new thing or do we want the real thing? You choose. And whatever you decide to choose, Paul's thing was a different thing. Paul's thing is a different thing. And here we have the birth of false Christianity. We have a church on every corner. And I remember traveling around the country playing a game with our kids, how many crossroads you could find a church on every corner, literally four churches of four different denominations. It happens all the time, folks. Believe me. So anyway, we hear a lot about the road to Damascus, talking about the birth of Plastic Jesus. Paul was on the road to Damascus. Well, actually, Paul was not on the road to Damascus. Paul was on the road from Damascus. He was traveling from Damascus to Antioch, where he was going to start his work. And there's a reason they call it, they being the religious controllers, they being those of big-time religion, there's a reason they call it the road to Damascus, because they want to confuse the fact that it was actually the road to Antioch, because they know that Antioch is where Paul's thing started, and they don't want you to know and be able to figure out that it's a new thing. Paul was on the road from Damascus to Antioch. He was coming from Damascus to Antioch, so it really was the road from Damascus. And in Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 5, you have the account of the conversion, as it were, of Paul. The conversion, as it were, of Saul of Tarsus. You've heard the story. Here's Paul riding down the road. We're told the road to Damascus. It's the road from Damascus, the road to Antioch. That's important. He's riding along. Now, I've tried to find out if he's riding a camel or if he's riding a donkey. And to my dissatisfaction, there doesn't really seem to be any clear textual indication of what type of beast he was riding. There doesn't seem to be any clear historical application of which beast he would have been riding. It could have been either one, and that troubles me. It doesn't really trouble me. It just bugs me that I can't pin down what he was riding. And it does make a little bit of difference, because if you're riding a donkey, and according to Paul, he got knocked from his beast, that a donkey, what are they, maybe 4 or 5 feet tall from their back? So that's not a very big fall. That's, scrape your elbow. But if you fall off the back of a camel, man, that could be 6, 7, 8 feet high up in the air. So the fall from the back of a donkey and the fall from the back of a camel, well, that's a little bit of a different story. So, see, these are the things that go on in my mind as I study and read, and probably shouldn't, but at any rate, they do. So anyway, Paul says, I'm riding along on my beast, be it donkey or be it camel, when all of a sudden this bright light shone as bright as the noonday sun, knocked me off my beast, and I heard a voice that said, Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And I said, who are you? And the voice said, I'm Jesus, whom you persecute. Very, very interesting. The light shone around Paul as bright as the noonday sun. That word, that term is used elsewhere in the New Testament. It's used in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, to describe quite a different scenario. In Luke chapter 10, verses 18, right around there, Yeshua's speaking again, and he's talking to people that he had just sent out as evangelists. And interestingly enough, Luke, who wrote the book of Luke, obviously, and who actually wrote the book of Acts, actually copied it down at the dictation of Paul, but he was front and center anyway. And so Yeshua said, you guys have been out casting out devils. You guys have been out preaching the gospel. That's what he sent them to do. They came back, all 70 of them. They were hyped. They were excited because they found out that Yeshua knew what he was talking about. When they went out there, the demons, we'll just leave that alone for right now, just leave it at demons, they were subject to them. They were excited because they were able to exercise authority over these demonic entities, which really are unbalanced energy, but we'll get to that at another place and in another time. And Yeshua said to them, look, it's really not that big of a deal, guys. Be happy that you're learning the ways of truth and life. Be happy that you're on your way to life and that more abundant. Don't be so hyped up that you're able to exercise authority over demonic spirits. And then Yeshua said, hey, look, I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. Whatever that means, it really means I saw an adversary or possibly my adversary fall from heaven like lightning. Like lightning is the exact same word used in Acts 9, 3 through 5, where Paul says, I saw a bright light shining about me. So Paul says, I saw this shining light, this flashing light. Yeshua says, there was this flashing light, this shining light. Same word, same exact scenario. Oh, yeah, except Paul said it was Jesus that he saw, and Yeshua said it was Satan or the adversary. So one of them's right. One of them's wrong, or how about C, they're both right. Clearly, Yeshua said that this type of a manifestation is a manifestation that is satanic or the manifestation of an adversary, however you want to look at it. It's really an adversary. Paul saw the manifestation of this adversary, but instead of realizing him and recognizing him as an adversary, Paul said, it's Jesus. Do you see what happened here? Do you see that the seed of all Pauline revelation, all Pauline doctrine, two-thirds of the New Testament, is inspired, revealed by Satan, by an adversary, not in the words of Jeffrey Daugherty, but in the words of Yeshua of Nazareth. What Paul said was Jesus, who gave him his mission, who gave him his message. Yeshua says, excuse me, bro, but that was the adversary. That was what you call Satan. Wow, how does that affect your morning? Everything that Paul preaches, teaches, everything that you have been preached and taught, and everything, by and large, if you're Christian, that you believed, was revealed by an entity that Yeshua called Satan and Paul mistook for Jesus. And that's plastic Jesus. Plastic Jesus is the fake Yeshua. So when you hear me say Jesus and you hear me say plastic Jesus, I'm talking about that entity that Paul saw on the road from Damascus to Antioch, the entity that Yeshua identified as Satan or an adversary, and that Paul looked up and said, Mama, or Papa, or Jesus, you're my dude. So the dude that caused Paul to do his deeds was the devil in modern parlance. It was an entity that Yeshua identified as adversarial or Satan. That's plastic Jesus. That's the dancing bear of Antioch. That's the source of all Pauline doctrine. How does that sit with you here on Thursday morning, June 25th, 2013? Yeshua calls it Satan or the adversary. Saul calls it Jesus. So who are you going to believe? Who are you going to trust? Do you see why I spend so much time looking at what some of you would call the minutia of the stories, the minutia of the text, because it means things, it shows things, it screams things out. And if you're a sloppy or unskillful archaeologist, you know, you look around at the surface and say, oh, nothing here. But if you get out your pick, you get out your shovel, you do a little digging, you find amazing things. That's what we're doing here. There's a reason why the New Testament order is jumbled. There's a reason why, even though they messed up the order of all of the books that weren't written by Paul, that they somehow got the order of Paul's books perfect, where you can understand the revelation of his thought and the development of his teachings. And the jumbled nature of those of the apostles prevents that. Plus, it creates this false world, this false timeline that the apostles taught, then came Paul, then comes prophecy. No. The New Testament in reality, the real timeline is a battle between the apostles of Yeshua in Jerusalem and the message of Paul in Antioch. The New Testament is a battle between Yeshua and dancing plastic Jesus of Antioch. And Paul was inspired, led, and taught. And everything that he inspired, everything he taught, everything that Christianity is, can be traced back to the revelation of an entity that Yeshua himself called Satan or the adversary, and that Paul misidentified as Jesus. Really was Jesus, but it was the plastic Jesus, the fake Jesus. So if you're looking for the real message of Yeshua, you won't find it in Paul. The real message of Yeshua is in his words, in the words of his apostles, the 12 that lived and walked with him. The message of Paul is the message of the fake plastic Jesus and the dancing bear of Antioch. Folks, I don't make it up. I just deliver the mail. I can lead you to water. I can't make you drink. I can lead you to objective facts, but I can't make you think. So I'm just here every weekday morning to get you to ponder some things, to get you to consider some things that maybe you haven't considered before. We'll be back tomorrow to talk a little bit more about plastic Jesus. And until then, I'm Jeffrey Daugherty, your Christian whistleblower. I'm wishing you peace and light.
Stay connected with the Christian Whistleblower at www.christianwhistleblower.com. On Facebook, follow Jeffrey Daugherty and Jeffrey Daugherty Show, and on Twitter at NC Kabbalah. Visit ChristianWhistleblower.com today to learn how to create yourself and to live the life you'll love.